Slick, you're someone who's pushed Los Angeles and the LA symbol very hard in your work I've seen through the years, and also characters, you know, you're very well known for that also. Could you comment on some of what Chaz just said regarding LA, your thoughts on LA, and the use of characters is one thing that does make Los Angeles graffiti a lot different than New York graffiti, which is what most people think of when they think of the word graffiti.
I guess characters were always like part of a piece. You know, you have your graffiti piece and a little character. But since I was always into art, you know, growing up, and I went so far with my letters, and it didn't excite me as much as it was painting characters. You know, I could express myself more through the figurative type of work. So, and that's what I did. And with the, I had an airbrush background. I used airbrush T-shirts and stuff like that in high school. And so when I started painting my characters, instead of looking like the traditional 2D type of just sidebar to a piece, my style started evolving, I guess, coming through with the natural lighting and as such, and it started to take over. And as far as me growing with the characters, it was more because at one point everyone was like, "Oh, Slick, let's go paint. Can you do a character next to my piece?" You know. And I guess people would get fame from me throwing characters or, you know, a background around their piece. So a lot of times people didn't even know, like, I painted because, eventually they did because I got known for those characters, but I was just an accent to the pieces, you know? Now it's gone, like, full circle where, like, I know there's artists that don't even do letters anymore, and it's just their piece is the characters, you know, which is amazing, you know? And I love that, you know, and I just feel honored to be like that. I was part of that whole evolution of that, you know.
Dan, you've a lot of these guys here sitting on this panel—they're making money from graffiti. They're showing in galleries, creating clothing, working with advertising agencies—you name it. How much money do you all spend a year removing graffiti, and what is that process?
Well, the money we've been spending removing graffiti has been growing tremendously over the last few years. It just seems like there's more and more of it that we've got to remove. As 3 years ago, we were about $3 million a year. Last year, it went to $4.5 million, and this year, I'm expecting it to be about $6 million. Now, the problem for me is that I don't get that from any place. I mean, that all comes out of other things that I'd much prefer to be doing with the Caltrans budget. So, you know, it affects other things on the system, landscaping and some of the other things that we have to cut back on, because the public absolutely insists that we paint this stuff out on a fairly regular basis.
So you would be a fan, of course, of any kind of programs that could help slow graffiti down even a little bit?
Absolutely. And that's what prompted me being here today. So,
what are some of the stereotypes that you most often hear from people calling in to complain about graffiti or even coworkers?
Well, the stereotypes are mostly about Caltrans, to be honest with you. They're, this is, typical, government worker can't take care of the system, you know. I don't think people understand the magnitude of the problem. Like I said, just in dollar values, that's a lot. I have a pretty difficult task maintaining that system as it is. Much of it is well over 50 years old, and it was designed to have a 20 to 25 year life, and it's going on 50, and we're still keeping it together. So people don't understand that, and most of the stereotypes like are about that we should be able to, if somebody tags a wall in the evening, that we should have it out by the next day. And that's not realistic. It's not something that we even try and do. But that's the biggest stereotype, that we can take care of the problem very quickly.
Al, what are some of the stereotypes that you often hear that people think of graffiti writers? Because you've obviously met and worked with, in one way or the other, several throughout the years at this point. But do most people just think graffiti is written on a sign, bunch of little punks?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that. A lot of people are afraid of it. I mean, in neighborhoods, like graffiti vandalism, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about street art. I mean, graffiti vandalism scares people in neighborhoods. It lowers the value of the properties. And, it shows that there's stuff going on that's bad. So that all of that is, and people think they're punks that should be put in jail. I mean, it's really basically that simple. You know, graffiti, I keep talking about graffiti in two ways. It's got the bad thing, but it's also very, very good. It's a symbol of democracy in many ways. It's a symbol of a lack of repression in many ways. It's positive in many ways. And graffiti is a geographical and intergenerational and a multicultural issue. I mean, the reason graffiti became a citywide issue in the early 90s was it the first time really that the people moved from young kids went from East LA to the Valley and started living in the Valley and moving and bringing some of their folk art to the Valley. And then graffiti started to become a big issue because it was in the Valley and everybody thought it wasn't a big issue when it was in East LA. The geographical sort of shift in LA has caused graffiti to become a big issue. The intergenerational issue, you know, the LA over the last 15 years has gone from a city where you still have people that were original people from here to now where really most of the people living in LA were born here. So that whole sort of intergenerational sort of shift for people from other places coming into neighborhoods, many of the neighborhoods in the Valley, you know, they haven't seen people from outside of their community 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's hard to believe, but it's really true. And then the multicultural issue. So, you know, those three issues are the three major issues that is causing this sort of battle about graffiti. But yeah, oftentimes people refer to graffiti writers as people who are criminals and should be put in jail, and that'll make the distinction between that and young artists who have nothing else to do. The best thing they've got in their neighborhood is a lot full of stuff and full of dirty couches and stuff, and you know, so they paint a wall and make it beautiful. So people don't make the distinction between that, which I consider a positive act, and somebody who's out there to destroy property and create mayhem. And that's what we try to do. We're really trying to make a distinction between vandalism, just straight vandalism, and street art, young people who are creative people who want to present themselves in some way, and all they have is the neighborhoods. So through that process, we're hoping to try to develop programs for kids who really wanted to create and do it in a positive way.
Thank you. Shelley, the story you have coming out in the LA Weekly will draw more positive attention on graffiti than most LA news stories have in a long time. Through working on that story, you've got to meet so many people and really get into their lives and befriend them, which is not that common for most people to really get to meet the graffiti artists, see where they live, see how they live, see what their day job is, if they have one, and what drives them to paint and do these things. What are some of the things you've heard going into the story about your subjects, and what are some of the more positive things you found out in the end?
Well, I have to state for the record that I'm biased. I've always been a proponent of the art form, and I think the argument is moot that is it art? Of course it is. That's a 20-year-old argument that's old and tired by now. By meeting the guys from MSKAWR, in general, all their stories are very individual, of course, but in general, there's such a passion for what they do that is unrivaled. If you can find that in any other industry, you'll find someone at the top of their game, whether it's a corporation or, you know, something else. But that's what I found out about them. They're super motivated people. They get up in the middle of the night and climb the billboards and make the most amazing piece you've ever seen. I mean, someone like Revoke has the most amazing hand style. You know, whether you regard him as an artist or a vandal, his O's are perfect. You know? That's kind of where I come from on that whole thing. And, you know, doing that story was just a great experience for me, and I hope that the story, when it comes out, will show that a little bit, put them in that positive light, because these are very motivated individuals working their asses off to make great art, and they deserve to be recognized as well as, you know, LA folks in general.
Retina, you paint a lot of murals, you're on the street, interaction with people, all kinds of different neighborhoods, in schools, kids. What are all these people saying to you, from someone in a nice section of West Hollywood to downtown in a bad school district? What kind of different responses do you get?
For the most part, all the responses have been good. You know, they vary from area to area, you know, and the responses that I would get, you know, from whether it was in Mid-City or Koreatown, you know, you'd have, you know, families just walking by and just admiring, not really engaging, is this graffiti art or not, just liking that, you know, someone was actually taking the time to paint their wall, to add a little bit of color. And, you know, obviously the young kids love it, you know, because they think you're just a grown-up kid, you know, coloring you know, something that they could obviously identify with and stuff like that. Then you have, you know, the neighborhood gangs that, you know, for the most part, you know, if they really wanted to, they could just, they could rag your piece. I think it's only happened to me once, which I didn't really like it, but it went down anyway. But for the most part, you know, you get that respect too. And then you also get the respect from, you know, I wanted to do work that was kind of, at some point I had stopped using spray paint. I wanted to use some brushes and different things like that. One was for different ploys to, you know, I thought that maybe I took away the spray paint tool out of it, you know, would someone look at me different if a cop was driving by and he seen paint buckets as opposed to spray paint? Would he now think that I'm actually doing abstract art or something like that, you know, because my style is very wild anyway, so you can't really define it. And for most part, it did kind of open up to, you know, different views by using different materials and stuff like that. And, you know, I've been hit up a lot of times by the police, and, you know, they've always actually said it was cool too, and that they liked it or whatever. And, you know, sometimes you get harassed. I remember there was times where I would go back to a wall and it would be erased, and I'd go ask them, you know, what happened to the mural. And they were like, well, the city or the police department came by and said that I had an illegal mural and that I was going to be fined $1,000 if I didn't get rid of it. So, you know, a lot of the walls that I did end up getting were from people that aren't necessarily American. You know, they might be Korean or they might be Latin or whatever. So I don't know if they really understand the laws. I really didn't know the laws either. I thought if you owned the business, it was your wall and I could do whatever I wanted with it. I think as I grew a little bit older and, you know, just recently, you know, I realized that Cultural Affairs had, you know, certain guideline that any wall that abuts a public sidewalk, that they would like to have some kind of say in, which, you know, makes sense, obviously, if you're out there doing work that's going to be out in the open. I think it just, what was funny is when the wall would then get painted over, I think it touches back on another point, it would go back to getting tagged on. It would go back to having gang writing on it and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you start to think, does the city want to keep spending money painting over this wall, or do they just want to keep this mural that's there? Maybe they didn't sanction it, but, you know, a lot of people actually do enjoy it. You know, I've done work with artists in here, Melissa Troches. We did a school at Merchantson, and, you know, you take graffiti style, and she would do figurative paintings, and, you know, that was definitely received very well. You know, I did a lecture up at two lectures at the juvenile detention centers, I think Camp David or Los Padrinos was the first one that I did, and a friend of mine, he's a probation officer, and he had asked me, he was like, hey, Moses, would you like to come in and do a lecture and an art show for the kids over here? And I was like, well, at the time I was on probation and I didn't think I wasn't allowed to walk in a facility like that. But he was so adamant about the kids. You know, he was like, if I could just change one person, he was like, this whole event would be worth it for me. You know, it was a Black History Month and Cesar Chavez Day, which they celebrate at the same time, and I'm half Black, half Latin. So I felt like there was some kind of obligation there, and I really liked that he had this motivation to kind of, you know, help these kids out. You know what I mean? So I did go there. I gave a lecture so I could, you know, if they could identify with me and see what I came from and where I'm going, and I did have the same influences as them, as wanting to be maybe a gangster at some point in my life, but being very fortunate by the gangs that I did get a chance to meet, were saying that there was nothing here for you, why don't you just come into our neighborhood and paint our walls? And that kind of saved me from going through a totally different life. And that went over very well. We did it again at another detention facility in Malibu, and where I brought the artwork in for the kids. It was just a one-day thing. And the feedback you got from seeing these kids, you know, it was a good thing, because then they could see, like, here's someone that could kind of transcend through those different barriers. And I think that's something that I've always enjoyed. And I've gotten, you know, I obviously love this city. And I think a lot of artists, whether you're from my crew or not, you know, you love LA. You know what I mean? At least the people on the top tier, maybe in the middle tier too. And you want to do work that's very expressive and very beautiful. And, you know, you want everyone to engage it. I'm a product of everyone else that did great work, because I was a kid coming up looking up to people like that, you know. So if you could in turn get that back, like Chaz was saying, those, you know, those that history just keeps going down the line, and then it just creates an abundance of great work, of people that can respect each other's work and stuff like that, and it's a great community. There's obviously a lot of pain and struggle with it, there's a lot of figuring out, and I understand that the Caltrans problem and the problems with cultural affairs is how to tame, you know, this wild beast. I don't think I have the answers to that. I don't know if anyone does, but I think you could come to some kind of mutual agreement to kind of move forward, as opposed to always just saying, you know what, we're going to eradicate this, we're going to put these people in jail. Because I think by doing that, what happens is they become more defiant. It's a defiant culture.
Sure.
And they're already not used to listening to anyone. You know, so the more you tell someone, stop, 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 or I'm going to put you in jail, the more it's going to feed into, you know, just wanting to express themselves. You know, so it's definitely a very fine line that I think a lot of people are walking. But it's definitely nice to hear. And you know, the words get out. You know what I mean? Like, I had heard about Al from a lot of different people. And, you know, I had never personally met him. But the things that I had heard about him, or the things that he had stood for, you know, it was somebody that I was like, okay, this guy sounds really cool. He's, you know, I didn't know if he agreed with it or not, but just him taking the time to, you know, be willing to hear about it, you know, and those stories kind of get filtered down, and then, you know, so you do hear about what happens, and I think as you grow, you know, and as it gets filtered down, everyone will know who from the city is a part of it, who's willing to understand it, maybe not, you know, say it's okay, but willing to at least engage it and see how they can make it better. And I think that's one of the positive things that we could kind of get out of it. But as far as painting the walls, you know, like, definitely getting past the West Side has always been a problem. You know, you could go into South Central, you could go into East LA, and you could get walls, for the most part, pretty easily. You know, Melrose had their alleys, but as far as going further west, that's always been a very difficult thing. I've always tried to get walls, and I like them all over the place, and I obviously like them where I can't get them, you know, and I do try hard to get them in cities that aren't really open to it, you know, whether it be West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, or the West Side, you know, and you get some accomplishments and some you don't, and you know, but when the piece is there, you know what I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and then they like it, you know, they just have to get past those negative connotations that they have attached to it, and just have that openness to see it at a different light, and see what the response is, and then, you know, I think they're able to engage it and enjoy it.
I just think it's a geographical issue. I mean, I think there's parts of LA that don't don't want to see it. They don't want to see, just like some people don't want the metro stops in their neighborhoods, because, you know, during the millennium, we had a horrible fight trying to get the Hollywood sign to get lit up, because a lot of people that live in Hollywood don't want the weirdos coming up from Hollywood Boulevard. So then there's a siege mentality in LA here. People don't, you know, want to keep their neighborhood pure. And so that, a lot of it is that. I'd much rather see a beautiful piece than another Jiffy Lube ad on the freeway. I mean, obviously, as when those things go up, they're really wonderful. But the reality is that maybe what we got to do is just buy a bunch of billboards for street artists to do it. But I think there is a geographical issue about the park. There's some areas that really are afraid of it, just like they're afraid of the other. And some areas that are used to it and allow it. So. And again, intergenerational. There's a lot of young, people in LA, there's a lot of people afraid of kids, you know? There were rules in the books. I know they're still there, but there were rules in the books. In LA, where kids couldn't dance on the street, but they weren't allowed to dance on the street. So you know, so people are being afraid of kids and what they can do. There's a lot of that.
Thank you. We need to start wrapping it up for some questions. I'd like to start with Dan, just going down the line and see if anyone has some final thoughts or comments and talk about something they didn't get to talk about.
No, not in particular. Just that, we prefer not to see graffiti on our facilities, but that we do have some transportation art programs. Some of the stuff that we were talking about making walls available. That's something that, if you work with us, that might be a possibility for an avenue where there would be an allowed locations where we could be doing some of this type of artwork. But other than that, no, I have nothing more to add.
Slick.
I just want to say to him, that ad that you guys do, that it's called TAG, the anti. Yeah, I find it visually offensive and, just conceptually offensive. And just,
you should hire a writer to get your manager.
Or design. If you're trying to reach out to the kids, I mean, that's not doing it, you know?
Slick, give him your business card. Chess.
Sell your soul to the highest.
That's funny. What we always laugh at that because the worst letters is possible. You know. So, yes. You could do better. It's my last comment is that graffiti is the most exciting. The most visionary art. Never in the history of the world has ever been something like that. Like I said, we don't ever ask for permission. Everywhere I go, we validate ourselves. At one time, I wanted to be in the galleries, and I wanted to be in the museums because I thought it was important and all that. And now, yes, I am in museums and after the fact, and there's a lot of politics about that I'm going to get into, but it's sort of like we don't deserve, they don't deserve us. That's past. The museums are not going to change, galleries aren't going to change. So what's going on now, we're making our own galleries, we're making our own videos, we're making our own books, we're making our own history. We are making our own heroes, our own television programs. If you don't have your own fashion, your own black book, your own website, your own tennis shoe line. I just did Vans, and I'm going to be doing K-Swiss. I'm going to be going to Japan, and then they're doing a book on me. I got to go to Milan. If you don't have that minimum, you're not a graffiti writer, and all of this had that going on. So why do we need museums and galleries and all that kind of stuff, But I do want to give one click to hip-hop. We're supposed to be the four elements of hip-hop. Suggest that some people like Snoop Dogg and all these people with the money, when they come out and buy graffiti art, the industry should be. the other three making the money with the music, cool, it's fine. But you know, I hate to be put as a decoration on the back of their videos and all that kind of stuff. So you know, I think maybe we should ought to leave them behind too. You know?
I guess what I have to say is, you know, graffiti or hip-hop art is both private and public art. There's the private art and there's the public. If you're working in the public realm, this is a call to action to the artist working up in the public art realm. Take the existentialism out of it. Don't do it just for yourself. You're not victims, you're part of us. This city needs a lot of help. The power of the pen, the power of your work, is very, very important. It can really help our city. There's an incredible death toll out there with gang violence. Let's try to use graffiti as a vehicle to tell the story, to tell a positive story, and save some lives out there. I'd like to see graffiti like become a political art, not just a me art. It's about somebody else.
Nothing to add except watch for the seventh letter cutter on July 12th and keep an eye out for our rock cards because we use that to showcase new artists. Retina was last week and also Pusher One. So, thanks.
And you?
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for coming, for expressing interest in this, you know, something that we hold very dear to us. And obviously we would love to you know, find ways that we could work with the city and maintain, our credibility, or just where we're at, and also still work with the city in ways and find opportunities where we could kind of help in any way. So I would definitely look forward to, you know, to that in the future. And thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Could you stand up and speak? Oh, you have a microphone? Okay.
Testing. Thanks. I was looking forward to being here today. A couple weeks ago on Channel 5 News, there was a, after the regular news, 9 o'clock, they have the panel and a guest speaker come on, and they talk about certain topics for an event. One of them was gang violence. Picture of our mayor in the background. Behind him, beautiful graffiti picture in the back said, gang violence is the caption. Visually, it's the wrong message going out to people today. I want to know, get some feedback, what's going on, because there's a lot of mixed messages going out on what is happening, because things are changing here in L.A.
Art Forrest did that at Belmont a long time ago.
Al, maybe? What the negative message by the media? Is that your question?
It's a negative. It's a visual thing. It's visual.
Thank you. It's a visual thing, but when it says gang violence, keep it gang violence. Don't call what I'm looking at gang violence, because what people are doing, they're looking and going, no, that's gang violence. Put him in jail. No, stop it. Whitewash it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. As I said before, the people get the messages mixed up. I mean, people think that all graffiti means gang violence. I don't understand. They don't understand the difference. And educating the people in LA, the city, people in the city, about the difference between positive graffiti and negative graffiti is a key thing. But in the media, I remember when I used to work at MacArthur Park. Every time there was an article about violence, it was at MacArthur Park, and MacArthur Park became a symbol of violence. So it happens a lot. I don't know what to do about the media, but but I agree with you that they're really mixed messages, and we've got to separate the differences. Yeah. Yes.
Hi. This goes out to the artist. How many of you personally mentor a student or an artist? Do you personally have someone under your wing that you, because I know you interact a lot with youth, so do you take somebody under, any of you artists on the panel?
I think as far as crews go and different things like that, or individual artists, you're always looking for someone to kind of show the ropes, or at least to not make the same mistakes that you have made. We don't have formalities and things like that where here's an application and hit me up. But as far as you're usually drawn to those things. If you see some people that you like, you know, you kind of find your way to get to meet that person. And by you doing that, you know, you express interest, and then, you know, if you have an openness to learn, usually that person will probably be willing to help you. And, you know, I've done it, I used to do it a lot more when I was a little bit younger, with a lot more people, and then now I do it occasionally with, you know, people that are very interested in working. But I try to be more wide range, because that's just where I'm at now. You know, I can't just, you know, tell them everything about graffiti. I try to tell them about everything that I'm doing, whether it's corporate work, designs for clothing companies, or different things like that. I don't try to just fool them and be like, it's all about this little segment and I'm working on this whole thing. I try to tell them every step that I'm a part of, and if it's something that they want to learn more about, you know, obviously I'm willing to, you know, be open with them on that.
I often have interns. Does that count? Right up there. This side.
Great. I know all of you guys there, except for the woman that wrote this thing and the Caltrans guy that doesn't seem to have a solution. But the thing is, let me tell you something, first of all, about children. And Al, you can understand this. Kids didn't have art in school. The only art they see is on the street. Okay? Now, graffiti is political, regardless if you like it or not. That's what China's problem is about. You can't have it in a museum. Well, he said he was going to put everything together, except he didn't think about building a museum. Now, you're spending a lot of money, and you will spend a lot of money. And you guys don't mind spending money, because it gives you guys jobs and reasons to deduct the money you have. We've got to get the kids that it seems like none of you want to talk to. I mentored Shaka. I mentored Psyche. I mentored Heaven and Messer. And I also sit down and... You've been in my studio a lot of times. Al came to my studio to apologize that he put a letter in the culture fair that he didn't want graffiti in any gallery. Chaz asked me why he wasn't called Master, because I told him in the 92, if he would have said yes to me, he would have been in that show. You can shake your head, but the ideal is, you know, one thing about I want to say is there's enough money in this town not only to affect regular graffiti artists, but everybody, all the other artists. There's an LA problem with housing for artists. There's a definitely an abandonment of children. Okay, now, if you're going to get to the five-year-olds, because I can get to the five-year-olds, you have to realize one thing. We got to put art back into the schools. We got to stop talking about what's good graffiti and bad graffiti, because you guys all sound like gallery directors. The ideal is expression is so important. If you miss that, then you miss the 21st century. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a question over here?
This is kind of like a two questions and one opinion. I'm one who's just turned 37. I've seen quite a lot when it comes to politics. I haven't made much of a... I involved myself for quite a while. Some of the people on the panel know when we were at a Royal Arts Collective doing stuff, trying to go around the right route. One question, one opinion first to Chaz. Since you've been able to see a lot of murals and, you know, coexist with them and grow up with them, a lot of the people that I looked up to, I think a lot of the problem doesn't... I conflict with something you said is the blame doesn't just land on just the writers, but a lot of those muralists never did another mural in Boyle Heights again or East L.A. Paul Botello, Dave Botello, like, you know, Willie Aron. Willie Aron is somebody who's at least been consistent, but recently his piece just got buffed. You know, on Soto and Cesar Chavez, after many years of it being hit so many times by writers, that the building owner just, I guess, finally just buffed the whole thing out. I grew up with that mural. So a lot of the blame lies in part with that generation of muralists that did Estrada Courts and all these other places. It never came back, I don't think, to the community, or even much less made a mural school. I mean, we could have been a small part of it, but I think it was meant to be. Our school was on the streets, and that's where the respect lies with you, in the fact that, you know, you did keep true to that, but a lot of your other peers didn't. You know, you can respond to that in a minute. Second is, which leads this good segue to my man at the left right here. What do you do? You know, I'm talking to. What do you do to enforce members of your crew, you know, I won't say who they are, that have gone over the murals. Like, I'll tell you one thing, UTI, we don't put up with that.
Right.
And we've been enforcing it, and I'm going to be enforcing it now. But on a level where I'm going to approach writers and give them the benefit of the doubt. Nobody's paying me to do this. I don't work for cultural affairs or anything, you know?
Right.
But I do care about my murals that I grew up with. And I don't know dudes from other crews of notoriety that never went that route. So what are you going to do to enforce it?
Well, I think...
Hold on. Sorry. Third question. Sorry. I don't get to do this very often. Third question. To Caltrans. Caltrans, I don't need the mic. Caltrans here. You know, a lot of things have been coming up with Caltrans as far as the politics behind it. My question is, I've heard things, sources, does Caltrans now lie under Homeland Security? Since it's part of the highway system of the nation.
If you could use the mic, please, because we're being recorded.
Since it does lie, I don't know, I've heard that it lies under Homeland Security now after 9/11. So does that lead the way into maybe one day Caltrans or the federal, you know, authority office seeing us as terrorists now?
It's already happening.
Yeah. So I see that happening, and a lot of people don't know and aren't informed. They see Caltrans as just being Caltrans. But there's another higher up. Whether
we're
you guys want to
answer time, so let's try and address your questions, Chaz, starting with the murals.
And Nuke, so we all have respect for you, and all your questions are very, very valid. Why the Chicanos, don't come up and participate in the mural movement and all that, and all I hear is just in bitching and complaining and all that. For one is that they come from the old schools that they want to get paid, they need a grant and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so my graffiti artist, every graffiti mural is coming right out of their pocket. When I hear it, I'm not going to say who it is and all that, saying, oh, you know, the graffiti guys, I helped them, they were mijos, and now they're tagging my mural and everything else, and they leave it alone. I go up to them and I tell them, I go, you know something, if that's my mural, that's my heritage, that's my bio, is that who I am out there? I paint that mural, getting tagged. And it's up to the Chicano painters to go up there and clean it up, you know. If it's my work out there that's being tagged, I'm going to go out there and clean it up, you know. So, I mean, and then, you know, if they leave the tag on it, what's going to happen? This man's going to come up and he's going to buff it out. The Chicano artist lost that wall that he had for 20 years. He's the one who is losing. He's the one that is the loser on that, you know. So I only complain to Chicano artists if these guys did one mural 20 years ago. What up with them, you know? So, I mean, they need to get motivated, you know, so.
I want to respond to Nuke's other question. I definitely can't disagree with if that happened or not. I definitely know that it did. I think, obviously, you can't, you know, it hasn't happened by everyone, but if we're from the same crew, you could say, yeah, we're a part of that. I think there was a very defining moment. You know, I've always loved the murals, you know what I mean? Like, I have no question about that. I think there was a defining moment where we all kind of came together and said, you know what, we cannot put our names, I don't want to be associated with it. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, you're from this crew and your crew is going over this when I actually know some of these guys and I like them. Does the rest of my crew know them? Probably not. But I don't think it's going on, at least from our crew point, it's not going on anymore. You know, I know it happened, I think once or twice or something like that. The names, as you know, the reason that you're probably still seeing it is because the person that probably did it is a very prominent person. No one's going to go over him. So it's been there for a very long time where all the other stuff is getting capped over. So he did it. It's still there. It hasn't been capped over for obvious reasons of his clout in the city. And then, yes, we did have other kids that have wanted to get into our crew that, you know, I remember even talking with Steve Brody. It was just something that he really despised. And we were facilitating a new kid that was trying to get down. And that was one of the main things that, you know, I definitely told him that he had to stop doing if he wanted to be a part of anything that we had going on. Another reason why, you know, personally, someone from my crew, we don't really need the heat, you know what I mean? We don't need Caltrans, we don't need MTA, we don't need them hounding us over someone writing a mural, and that's why we want to really stay away from Caltrans or city property, because it's more detrimental to the whole picture that we're trying to do. And I think mistakes were made, and we're definitely trying to clear that up.
We only have time for one more question.
I'm going
to
hold that
30 minutes. Okay, Caltrans is part of Homeland Security. We're a transportation agency. Homeland Security is interested in a lot of our facilities because they're essential transportation routes, and we have gotten funding to increase security on some of those facilities. But other than that, there's no connection between Caltrans and Homeland Security. As far as the issue about graffiti, taggers being referred to as terrorists, I've never heard anybody mention that, either for Homeland Security or anywhere else. So I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
All right, question right here.
First of all, I want to commend every one of you, and Elizabeth, I followed your journey, and I want to commend you for that. I became involved in graffiti a number of years ago. My uncle is Magoo from the Horn, and he had me when I found that you couldn't follow the neighbor's cars, so he took me under his wing, and I did a mural with him over on Indiana and Wheaton. Never forgot that experience of just putting something there, and it was gorgeous and legally, okay? And my question here, and I'll make it short here, is that I've been assigned to 18 juvenile prisons here in the county. I govern along with three other, 13 other people. I'm a commissioner, probation commissioner. That means that I am the safety and also the welfare of the kid when he gets arrested and he goes into juvenile hall and camps, the whole thing. What I would like to say to you is that I think you're doing a phenomenon in the area of bringing it into a positive groove. And this is what these kids need to hear. You know, there's a new unit that we have in Central Eastlake where all the taggers go in there because they're being recruited by the gangsters, okay? So on the Homeland Security, I dabble on that, been working on that also, and absolutely. Graffiti artists are under the same guideline as the gangster, and the gangster now is under the gangs, under the same, the 9/11 New Terrorist Act procedure now. And so therefore, there are also what they call squads that are going and busting. They're breaking into the houses and busting all these kids. They're doing raids on them right now. And I go and talk to the kids while they're locked up in the cells already, okay? So I'm not just... what I see is that there is solutions. There's very powerful solutions because I personally took Chaka under my wing 15 years ago and had him live in my boys' ranch. And from there, Chaka and I, we developed a program called From the Walls to the Malls. And we developed a pilot program where we were able to do 12 steps on how to become graffiti geared. In other words, how to turn it into a positive. And so I commend every one of you. And Elizabeth, man, thanks a lot for making this happen. I just hope you even do more of these, man. So God bless every one of you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, thank the panelists, thank Elizabeth. If you're interested in LA graffiti, Steve Grody, who's here somewhere, just put out a wonderful book about LA graffiti. It talks all about the style. You can learn more and more. And check out the LA Weekly story that's coming out soon. Thank you.
Hi, before you all leave, I'd like to make a few announcements, and these are important. This presentation today was video recorded because we would like to make it available. It's not going to be available for commercial purposes, which means that it will not be for sale or for rental. It will be available for educational purposes. The City of Los Angeles is curating an exhibit on graffiti art. We really want to look at the aesthetics, the politics, and the practice of it. Because as you can see, it is a very popular art form, and I think it's also one of the most important art forms that are that is in evidence today. A lot of the folks who are here really care, of course, about this art form, so your questions have been very helpful. If you would like to be involved in future forums like this or in helping us really become informed about how we develop policy, I encourage you to keep in touch with me. My email address, I provided it for you. It's in the back, on the back of this flyer, and it's also in a page here that says be informed and get involved. It's very important for us to hear from you. I was sitting here throughout the entire program, and I heard questions from Nuke and just eavesdropping and listening to what people are saying as they come in. And of course, graffiti is a passion of mine. I really care for it. However, it cannot be a one-sided conversation. Just being here, I feel an energy where people are very interested. You have other things to do with your Sunday, so what brings you here? Hopefully you'll be able to respond to some of the issues that were brought here as a call to action. How are you going to get involved? If you don't like what's happening in terms of a state or the city or your county, guess who has a voice that's powerful than me? I'm a city employee. You think I have any power? No. You all do. You actually do. A lot of the meetings are public meetings. Cultural Affairs has public meetings that are open. You can go and have a seat and learn about the process and get involved. And it's so powerful when you think about your responsibility and the authority that you have. I mean, take a second to think about that. You have power and authority. When Al was talking about the power of the pen, I hope you realize that he was being very literal. You can write to your council person, to your supervisor. You can write to LAPD. You can write to anybody. Write to the newspaper. That's very powerful. I heard this gentleman here talk about how the media juxtaposes graffiti art, a true art form in many cases, and we see it aligned with something that has nothing to do with it. They're just using these illustrations to make a point, and unfortunately, it's not correct, and a lot of the public misunderstands that. I would have loved to see this audience, this auditorium, be filled with more people, and that you are here. Please take what was said today and share that with people, share that with a neighbor, with students. I also want to say thank you to the panel, especially Dan from Caltrans. I can tell you it's not very easy being on this side of the discussion. I a lot of times have approached graffiti artists and blessed them. They've been very generous and nice to me. But initially when I first started befriending them, they would look at me like, oh, you work with the city, or oh, you know, I'm sorry for you. And I think, oh, wow. Then that to me tells me that I have a great opportunity to really try to listen, to try to do my job as a public servant and try to open the doors and create a paradigm shift, really, so we understand what this art form is about. So Dan, I know that it's tough because I feel that sometimes, even if we want to do something positive, unfortunately, historically, the gap has been so wide that even now when we're trying to bridge it and really create coalitions in something positive, it is a challenge, and I have to respect that. So again, I ask all of you to please take what you've learned here today, share it with others, get informed, be involved. We are doing a graffiti art exhibit. I am hoping that it is in a museum, although I agree with Chaz. I'm an art historian and I also work in museums, and I hate that I go into a museum and I don't see graffiti art. I think graffiti art is on par with anything, really, and it deserves a spot in American history books. And talking about books, also in the back of this publication, you will see that I put notes of interest, publications of interest. Please go out and support these folks who are writing books and creating history and historicizing this for future generations, because you are not going to be here 100 years from now, and books, letters will stay. So with that, I want to thank all of you.